Last month, the Victorian Law Reform Commission released a report recommending changes to the way juries are selected for trials. This process is known as jury empanelment. The chair of the Victorian Law Reform Commission is Justice Philip Cummins. For over 20 years, he was a judge of the Victorian Supreme Court. He's a fan of the jury system. He says when it's properly administered, the jury is representative of the community and it's impartial. One of the report's major recommendations is a reduction in the number of peremptory challenges.
Peremptory challenge in a criminal case is where the parties have the right to challenge six jurors whose names are randomly called in court without giving any reason. And in a civil case, it's the same principle, but you can only challenge three in a civil case. And with peremptory challenges, the question arises as to whether that is a justified exercise of the rights of the parties or whether it in fact leads to unrepresentativeness, one of the key principles.
What's the rationale for allowing, say, an accused to knock off six prospective jurors or even the prosecutor?
Essentially to give the parties an input into the case, a connection with the case so that they weren't, as it were, just bystanders. And I think that's still a valid reason for having peremptory challenges, that the parties themselves are involved in the case and they're given more confidence in the trial process. But I think that argument can only run so far, especially if, as is evident, there is stereotyping as a basis for challenges. For example, in Victoria, in criminal trials, the rate of challenges of women is double the rate of challenges of men.
Is that right?
And translated into actually the persons on the jury, women make up 52% of the panel following excuses being granted by the judge before the jury is selected. They make up 52% of the persons in court, but only 44% of the jurors selected. So there's quite a marked gender-based set of considerations involved.
What's going on there, Philip Cummins? What's going on in the minds of perhaps defence lawyers?
I think there's a cultural overhang. I think in some cases, such as sexual offence cases against women, there's a perception that women might be too involved. Those stereotypes, and it's the same, say, with a bank manager who's been called in a bank armed robbery case. When you look at those stereotypes, they're profoundly insulting. They're really saying that in the sexual case, young women aren't going to act on the evidence, aren't going to act fairly and rationally. Or if you like to put it round the other way, old men on the jury like me don't really care about victims. That's the stereotype, and it's quite unacceptable, I consider.
So, given those views, why not get rid of peremptory challenges totally and completely? As I understand it, the report has recommended a reduction from 6 to 3 in criminal trials and from 3 to 2 in civil trials.
Certainly, there's a strong argument in favour of getting rid of peremptory challenges altogether. I think the juries commissioner here in Victoria thinks they should have been got rid of altogether.
He said, quote, "They only serve to confuse, discriminate and otherwise offend citizens who have both a right and an active responsibility to serve on a jury." Strong words there.
Strong words, and he expresses himself very well, the juries commissioner in Victoria, Mr. Dorr. I think there are strong philosophical arguments in favour of what he has said. And indeed, in England, peremptory challenges were abolished in 1988, and the system still works there. The reason that the Victorian Law Reform Commission concluded we should keep peremptory challenges was that it does involve the parties more in the process, that it gives the parties an enhanced sense of involvement and perhaps a more of a sense of confidence in the process. So ultimately, and we did consider this at great care and length because there are good arguments in favour of abolishing them altogether, in the end we considered that although philosophically one could say they should be abolished, operationally we thought they should be retained for those reasons of involvement of the parties, but reduced by 50% to try and reduce that stereotyping effect.
We've talked about gender. What about things like age and race? Did you ever observe barristers picking on people for those reasons?
Well, you can see the pattern in court. You can often see jurors where young women are excluded, or you can see employers are excluded, and sometimes you can see some ethnic exclusion as well. But when you're looking at a jury panel in court, you have the name or number of the juror, you have their occupation, and the only other thing you have is what they look like. So you can tell on gender basis, on age basis, much less on ethnicity basis, but you can certainly see patterns, not in every case, but the patterns are there.
And that's a problem. That's
indeed
a problem in terms of impartiality and representation, community representation.
Certainly.
I was recently speaking with lawyer Stuart Levitt. He represented Lex Wotton, who was charged with leading the riot on Palm Island in Queensland following the death in police custody of a bloke called Mulrunji. This was 10 years ago. But he presented to the court in Townsville polling saying, look, this person can't get a fair hearing here in Townsville. And the judge actually said, yes, I accept that, and then moved the trial to Brisbane. I mean, you do get occasions when nobody's perhaps in a community is impartial, and judges even will accept that.
There is a small set of cases, usually in regional areas, where the case itself is so notorious that judges remove the trial to another place. But generally speaking, the courts take the view that the community will act fairly if given proper instructions. And certainly that's my view as a judge. I think when you see juries in operation, you do get a profound sense of fairness coming from juries once they have the psychological experience of sitting through the trial.
In the USA, it is possible in some states for lawyers to quiz individual jurors about their views on various issues. I understand during the O.J. Simpson trial, for instance, prospective jurors were asked questions about their views on interracial marriage and domestic violence. And, of course, in death penalty cases, you need to make sure your juror isn't vehemently opposed to death penalties. So there is that strange system to our eyes and ears in America where you really question the juror very completely.
I think there's two profound problems with it. The first is it's highly intrusive and lacks respect for jurors, I think. The second is, and I think this is the real flaw with that sort of system, is that it's premature to ask a juror on day one, do you have this or that prejudice? We all have prejudices. The real question, and of course it can't be asked at the end, the real question is when the jury retires to consider its verdict, do you have that prejudice? And the flaw in that system is that it omits the psychological dynamic of a trial. And this is, I think, too little appreciated or acknowledged, that a jury is an evolving entity. It's quite different at the end to what it is at the start. Because jurors see a number of things in a trial. The first thing they see is plausible witnesses demonstrated to be untruthful, or impressive expert witnesses demonstrated to be based upon flawed factual assumptions. They see how hard everyone works at the case. They pick up by osmosis in court the fact that they must be careful in their judgments and fair in their judgments. And I think by the end of the case, they're quite different people to what they were at the start.
I've sat in on a few trials, and you're right, it's a terribly overused word, but it is a kind of a journey, and you do actually watch juries come on that journey and slowly become enveloped in the process.
Indeed.
And it is something which is quite visceral. You do actually notice it.
Yeah. And so the question at the start of the trial, in a sense, is quite premature and misconceived.
One of the other recommendations of the Victorian Law Reform Commission report, it recommends that Victoria follow New South Wales, which is the one jurisdiction in Australia where jurors are only ever identified in court by a number. So you never have the name, you never have the profession. Why is that a good idea?
When I was sitting as a judge, we had a choice at that stage under the legislation to call by name or number, and I was the principal criminal judge in the Supreme Court in Victoria, and I always called the panel over by number. A lot of other judges didn't, which was quite competent to do. I think it respects the juror. I think it encourages the juror to feel confident in the system. I think it gives the juror that reassurance that they are called as random member of the community, not in their own personal capacity. And I'm sure it gives the jurors a lot more confidence.
So, confidence in terms of feeling secure that, I don't know, relatives of the accused won't be penciling down their name. Is that what you mean?
That's the second half of it. That's the darker half, if you like. The top half is that the juror feels that their privacy is being respected, and that's a positive, not just the other side. And, of course, also there can be the negative that they might feel unsafe being identified by name.
Going back to the previous conversation about peremptory challenges, is it also about not giving defence teams or even prosecutors another piece of information upon which they might erroneously make some kind of assumption about somebody's likely verdict or predisposition? I don't know, somebody has an Irish name or an Italian name or an Eastern European name, and they can add that to their mix of conjecture.
Undoubtedly so. And ethnicity really arises mostly with names. Again, you've got those stereotypes.
Stereotypes about gender, race and age, the basis on which defence and prosecution teams make their calls. That was Justice Philip Cummins, Chair of the Victorian Law Reform Commission.